Hello, this is Brian, the compulsive eater, anorexic, bulimic, exercise addict, amongst still other things. Thank you for everyone who is here today, and thank you for asking me to be a speaker. I'm here from the Men's Inner Group. I serve as chair of the Men's Inner Group, and I wanted to talk today about being a male with an eating disorder. The outside the rooms and inside the rooms. Step one is coming to understand that I have an eating disorder. And that was really difficult when society and everything around me is saying men don't have eating disorders. It's very rare, and it really doesn't exist. I didn't see examples of it growing up, and it really allowed me to believe that I didn't have a problem. And how I thought about it was the I could rationalize and explain it away of like, this is just exercise. Everyone exercises. The societal belief that men don't have body dysmorphia. And coming into the rooms and having being the only male in the room kind of affirmed that belief. And so the societal terms of men don't cry, men don't have we manage our emotions, like that they don't exist. And if they do exist, then we like shut them down. And so this is how I managed my emotions, and so that was fine. That's what society told me to do, apparently. But more importantly, it goes into whatever society has going on. It goes more importantly to my childhood. Yesterday was an historic day in California. We had snow. 3 inches of snow in a place that historically does not have snow. And I, in program, I got to have the freedom to walk around while snowballs, like flakes of snow that are about 2 inches large, are falling on me. And I got to enjoy it, and I got to see the other people come out of their houses and like bring out a sled and like throw snowballs at people. And it was the most magical, most beautiful, the most brilliant thing in my life. And my amends to my inner child is I get to feel that today. And the level of parentification that I had as a child meant that I didn't get to feel normal. I didn't get to grow up as a normal child. And so as an adult, I get to relive those experiences. I get to be the inner comfort to my inner child. And it's really fun. The growing up, I felt alone. I have three siblings, two parents, mother, father, one brother, two sisters, and I'm the youngest. And there's 2 years apart from each of my siblings, relatively. And so when I came onto the scene, a lot of my brothers and sisters were a lot older. And so my childishness was not accepted. They didn't want to be around me. The activities that they would participate in, we had a half ball, a basketball court in our backyard, and just things were just rough. I have nails, always have, sorry. And I have scars on my inner arms from dribbling a basketball and it being forced out of my hand and my hands going into my wrists. I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't fun, and I was a crier. And it would shut down the entire game, and I would be blamed for ruining the fun. And so it was a lot more easier just to like exclude me. And so I imploded into my own little world because that's the only place that I could go. And that's just how life was. I wasn't allowed to hang out with my brothers or sisters at school. I wasn't allowed to hang out with them when they were with their friends. I have a distinct memory of going to high school with my older sister, sister older than me. And the moment that I got there, she said, "You will not hang out with my friends. I do not want to see you." And by that time, I was like 15 or whatever, 14, and that was just normal, and I accepted it. And so that's just how life was. At the age, a moment in my life, at the age of 9, my brother and I, he engaged in a relationship. And the only thing that I ever wanted was to hang out with my brothers and sisters. And so when he decided that he wanted to hang out with me, I was thrilled. But this relationship was sexual. It was physical. Childhood sexual abuse when I was 9, he was 14, and it lasted for about a year. And the first day was terror. The scariest person in my life walked into my room, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Every other day was something that I asked for because I willingly gave my birthright in order to have these cherished moments with my brother. And the thing that I cared about was being talked to, was being interacted with, was being seen. And I did anything for it. A year later, he ended the affair, and kudos on him, but he did not communicate that well. And so he just, one day I said, "Get the invitation," and he said no. And I was like, okay. And it was the end of it. And I still couldn't hang out with him after in public life or in private life. And now I had a secret, which kept me further and further away from my family of origin. And my 10-year-old self wanted to understand why. Why was I being rejected? What was wrong with me? You know, the 10-year-old self that doesn't have a mind that can that is capable of logical thinking, tried to figure out what the logic was. And the logic couldn't be something wrong with him. It couldn't be that was a, I knew it was societally a non-practice to have incest with your family members, but that couldn't be the reason. The reason was there was something wrong with me, and the only thing that I could look to was I had more weight on than the rest of my family did. I was noticeably heavier by 50 or whatever pounds. And so I labeled my fat as being the problem, and it started an internal war at which I was going to find acceptance. And he left shortly after to go to college in a different state, and I never saw him again for 9, 10 years later. And the abandonment was huge, and I imploded even further than what I already was into a fantasy world of my own making because it was safe. The this whole I introduced that my share about society and which is not exactly fair. My perception was I needed to keep to myself in order to save my family, because now I had a secret that could destroy them. When I was 4, Child Protection Services was called in my household, and the only reason why, sorry, the only reason why I was my family wasn't split apart was because I had equal affinity with both my mother and my father. And it showed that there was no abuse happening at that time. But my mother was really concerned and scared. And so we have this message of be careful what you say to strangers, be careful what you say when you're at school, be careful how you look, Because if you mess up, it could mean the end of this family. And so I already had this like savior complex, or this like I need to keep the status quo, or and like all these things. And it was really hard for me because I was really honest. I would talk to anyone, and I really loved natural things like playing around in the dirt, looking at random stuff.
That's 2 minutes, Brian.
Thank you. And it was really hard. And so it started a lifelong obsession with weight loss, because I needed to lose the weight in order to find acceptance. And so I engaged in exercise, and I pushed myself past my physical limits. I became an exercise addict plus an anorexic, because I didn't feel like I deserved to live. I didn't deserve the food that kept me alive. But I had to exercise. And so I modified my body into a type that I shouldn't have had. And the thing about incest is I got to be exposed to a body type that was past puberty, but looked like me, but wasn't me. And I forever chased after that, and I never got it. I never did. My body just doesn't build muscle like, especially when being an anorexic. And so it was this constantly moving goalpost. And I entered a program, and I had to look at my step one, and it took me a year to get through step one, because there was so much blocked, there was so much I had to work through. And I came to realize that in order for me to have any usefulness of looking at my past, I had to do it through the lens of compassion. Because that child, my younger 9-year-old self, did anything it could in order to survive. And those maladaptive defensive mechanisms that I adapted in order to live kept me alive, and I'm grateful for it. And now today, I get to look at those as an adult and say, do these serve me? And I get to go through the experience of the steps, giving my will and my life over the care of a higher power when I thought I had to fix. And so now it's resting into the love and comfort, and going through that step for moral inventory. And when I feel like I'm the worst, the people around me say, you're accepted, Brian. I give them my deepest, darkest secrets, and they give me compassion. And I walk through my step sixes, my character defects, the things that I ran away and obliterated from my life, the things that I numbed myself out in order to not be perceptive of, because I couldn't accept that I was the problem. And this program gives me the power of leaving victimhood and living in survivorship, with what can I control? What is my part? And my disease likes to manipulate that into you're wrong. And the program says there's a way out. Yes, it's your fault. Yes, you had a part in it. My apologies. This is how we live today. And going through the amends and
That's time.
thank you. And I'll close with this, the thing with the amends of having a relationship with my family of origin that's genuine, is the biggest gift of this program. I'm so grateful that you asked me to speak today. And Brian, I'm grateful to be here.